of vipers. You brood of vipers. It says that John said this to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, not just to the religious leaders, not just to the rabbis, not just to the priests, not just to the high muckety mucks, but he said it to all of those who came out. You brood of vipers. You bunch of snakes. Doesn't sound like a very nice way to talk to your congregation, does it? You brood of vipers. Who warned you? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who sent you the memo? Who sent you the email? Who forwarded this email to you? Who put you on the forwarding list? I don't think I clicked your name on my friends list to send you this message. Who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? He was out there proclaiming baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and baptism in the Jewish community was a way of spiritually and ritually washing yourself to prepare for a new day or a new ministry or a new beginning. You engaged in a ritual bath to enter the Temple Mount and go to the temple. You engaged in ritual baths in the Essene community every day before you would read scripture. It was kind of like a baptism in which you cleansed yourself to prepare the way for the new day. And here we have John the Baptist out proclaiming repentance for the forgiveness of sins and baptism. And he looks and he sees people coming to be baptized who have trouble admitting their own sin. I mean, think about it. Let's look at the religious leaders as an example of this. They had real trouble understanding themselves as being sinners, as having need of forgiveness, as having need of baptism. So why are they coming to be baptized? You brood of vipers, you bunch of snakes. Don't even begin to pretend to claim that you have Abraham as your ancestor. That's what they were doing. They were saying, we have Abraham as our ancestor. We have a great lineage. We have a wonderful pedigree. We have a very important background. We have standing and status and position because we are sons and daughters of Abraham. Well, big whoop-de-doo. God is able from these stones. God is able from these rocks here around us to raise up children for Abraham. Those of you who believe that your religious position, that your religious background, that your religious pedigree, that your church membership, that your denominational standing, that your ordination, that your position has any bearing on your eternity, forget it. Just because you're children of Abraham doesn't mean that you're anything special to God. God can raise up children from these rocks. What a wonderful way to start your message. What a wonderful way to preach your first sermon. I can hear now the Pastor Parish Relations Committee calling up, or in this case I would say the Rabbi Synagogue Relations Committee, calling up the district superintendent. We've got a problem with our pastor. He wears camel's cloth. He eats locusts, and so you don't want to see the kind of casseroles he brings to the covered dish. And he preaches messages and calls us a brood of vipers, a bunch of snakes. And that our standing as sons and daughters of Abraham is meaningless. Yep. That's the beginning of the message. That's the beginning of the message, the calling to repentance. That's the beginning of the message. It doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter who you are, we are all in need of forgiveness. We're on all of us, every one of us, in need of redemption and the need of a redeemer. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, a lot of people don't like that message. They don't like being called a brood of vipers. They don't like being reminded that their ancestry from Abraham is meaningless. And they don't like being told, you're a tree that's about to get chopped down and thrown into the fire. That's what John is saying. That's what John is saying. Ooh, that just makes me uncomfortable. Well, yeah, sure it does. We don't want to hear these kinds of messages directed at us. That's to be directed at those other people. I've had churches in the past complain. They even complained to a district superintendent that Brother Greg doesn't preach hellfire and brimstone sermons. He has a floppy Bible, but he doesn't preach hellfire and brimstone sermons. Well, right. I believe in grace. I believe in peace. I believe in the love of God. I believe in proclaiming salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not in trying to frighten people into the kingdom of God by raising a Bible above my head and threatening to throw it at them, no matter how much they need to have it thrown at them. I don't believe in proclaiming, you brood of vipers, even when we are. You see, the truth is, most people, they want fire and brimstone sermons, but directed at other people. So they can sit out there and go, amen, brother. Preach it, brother. Let them have it, brother. Oh, yeah, strike them dead, brother. Until that message starts coming right at them, right between the eyes. Then it's, wait a minute, brother. That belongs to the other people. That message should be directed at them sinners. Guess what? Guess what? We are all sinners. We are all in need of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed to us and the warning of God proclaimed by John, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee? The good news is that in Jesus Christ, in the coming of God to be with us in the incarnation and birth of Jesus, in Jesus Christ, we have the Redeemer. We have our Savior. We have the one that can deliver us from the powers and forces of darkness, from the sin that governs our lives, and from the pain and the anguish of living in a broken, hurting world. We have a Savior who comes to wipe away every tear and to set us anew in the kingdom of God. That's what we proclaim in Advent, a preparation for His return in the first half, and then beginning with Sunday, today, a looking for His first coming. We have all the signs and the symbols and the reminders of His coming. We know what to expect. And I'm sure those people who heard John the Baptist were really pleased when they heard him say, look at verse 15. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, I'm sure they're going, I hope he's not the Messiah. Man, this guy, he's weird. He eats locusts, he wears camel's hair. He calls us vipers. He says that our ancestry is meaningless. I sure hope he's not the Messiah. I'm sure they were pleased when he said, I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I is coming. Oh, good news. He's not the Messiah. Whew. He's not our pastor. We don't have to call the district superintendent on him. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. Wow. Well, this Messiah will come and he'll put you in your place. John the Baptist, big mouth. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Ooh, good. We'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yahoo! And fire. Oops. Oops. That's the part we don't want to hear. And fire, yep. And fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Oof, oof. With unquenchable fire. With fire that never ends. The chaff he will consume with unquenchable fire. Oof, I'd rather be wheat. Thank you very much. This unquenchable fire stuff doesn't do much for me. I'd rather be wheat. Who here wants to be chaff? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I saw it over there. No. Who here wants to be wheat? Raise your hand. Who wants to be wheat? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You want to be wheat? Raise your hand. You want to be chaff? Put it down. All right. That means that Jesus gets to take his winnowing fork. That's a stick with kind of like a bunch of sticks on the end of it, kind of like a great big fork or spade. And you take it and you stick it into the bunch of hay, bunch of wheat, actually, weeds and grass. And you shake it as you lift it up. And the wheat falls out. And then you toss the chaff over into a pile that you then take and use to keep your house warm. You burn to make fire, make heat. And meanwhile, you got the wheat shaken and separated out of the chaff. The wheat separated out so that you can use it to make bread. Ooh. Yeah. You know what? When you said you wanted to be wheat, that meant you wanted to become bread. Food for the world. Those are your choices. This week was an incredibly painful week for just about all of us. If we paid attention to the news, it was a painful week for us. It was a painful week because we saw on Friday the horrible power of evil that chaff can bring. And at first I had no idea what to say. I had no idea what to do. Part of me, thinking about this passage, thinking about what I'm going to preach today, had been working on it all week long. I'm thinking to myself, I want to see this piece of chaff thrown into the fire. And then I saw his picture. The picture of the kid who did it. And all I could say was, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The ancient prayer of the church. When you don't know what to pray for, when you know you're in need, when you know you're in trouble, when you know you're just like the rest of the chaff, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Oh, my sisters and brothers, I mourn for the children, for the teachers, for their families. At this horrible tragedy. We all do. And there is indeed inside that little bit of impulse to want to see the one who did it burn forever. But then there's the reality of Jesus' love and presence and the calling that we have to seek the love of the outstretched arms of the Christ child and to proclaim the love of God for and to all. Well, he deserves the roast. Yeah, and so do we. We kind of forget that, don't we? We also merit the fire because of Jesus. Because of the love of that little baby who was born now over 2,000 years ago. Because of the love of that little child who was conceived in a miracle. And we celebrate that conception, that incarnation on Christmas, because of that little baby and what he did and what he became. We can proclaim the true gospel, the true good news of the love of God. And we can pray and beg and ask Jesus to take his winnowing fork and winnow through us, to take out of us the chaff of anger and pain and fear and loss, and throw it into the fire, and leave the wheat of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. We can have the freedom because of what he did on the cross and who he is and was. Born in that little baby, that little squishy baby, who looked up at his mommy and smiled with eyes of adoration and put out his arms in love, not just for his parents, not just for Mary, but eventually for each and every one of us on the cross. Because of him, it's not just a winnowing fork, winnowing through the world and picking up the chaff of people and throwing them away and leaving the wheat of people. But it's a winnowing fork, winnowing through our lives, winnowing out the chaff of our living and tossing it into the fire and purifying us with that baptism of Holy Spirit and fire that John spoke about. Are we ready to receive the Christ child anew and afresh? Are we ready to see and experience the coming of the Savior in clouds of glory, and therefore also the coming of Christ in Bethlehem of Judea? Are we ready to experience the transforming love of God that winnows through our lives and picks out the chaff of sin and death, leaving the wheat of love and grace? When I remember hearing this story as a child, when I heard about a winnowing fork, I thought of a fork. I got a big fork out of the drawer so you could see it. Fork. And when you're small, like a child, that's about the right size, too. I remember when I was a pastor in North Carolina, little old ladies would say at the end of the potluck dinners, they'd say, "Hang on to your forks, because something's good's coming. The best is yet to come. Hang on to your forks." And usually it was pie or cake or something really yummy. Well, when Jesus is done with his winnowing fork in your life, hang on to your fork, because something better's coming. And it's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's called the meeting with the saints in glory at the table of the Lord eternal, and feasting on the riches of God's presence and grace for eternity. Something better's coming. In the incarnation of Christ our Lord, in the coming of God in human flesh, intended in human flesh, which we celebrate in just a week. Hang on to your spiritual fork, because there's going to be something better coming. Allow the winnowing fork of Jesus to winnow through your life and separate out the chaff and throw it into the fire and purify you. And allow the grace of God then to come into your life and continue to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Holy Creator of this glorious universe. In your wisdom you made us, forming us from the dust of the earth and breathing into us your genius and love. But like rebellious children, we turned our backs on your welcoming embrace and went our own way in ignorance and fear. However, you have not left us in the wilderness of our sin. Instead, you have bridged the barriers of our sin and death and have opened a way for us to leave our wilderness and enter the family of your sons and daughters. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Father Almighty, we have heard the call of John the Baptist in the midst of the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. We have heard his call and we have followed our Savior, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. As we approach our annual celebration of the incarnation and birth of Jesus, we confess our amazement that your precious child, conceived in the Virgin's womb, will be the one who suffers and dies for us, taking upon himself the sins of the whole world. We praise you for the glorious gift of salvation and eternal life, which the Christ child offers to us without price. We hear the call to faith, to hope, to love, and to joy. And we commit ourselves to sharing the good news of the real presence of Jesus with this broken and hurting world. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, proclaiming to all the good news of the incarnation and birth, the life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus the Christ, until he comes again in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If those who are assisting would come forward at this time. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is indeed a means of sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is indeed a means of sharing in the outpoured blood of Christ.
Let me dwell in your presence, Lord. Let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.